you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Or just follow us.
Or both.
Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
Old friend Chad Zumach in the studio and Colleen are really old friends.
Yeah,
I'm a
very old friend, but I'm still kicking.
We've known Chad 3 or 4 years now. Welcome back, brother. How you doing?
It's good to be back on one of my favorite radio shows in the country.
I appreciate that.
I mean it.
He's not lying.
I know.
I'm a fan.
I know you're big. You do a lot of.
No, we don't want everybody. That's the only way we can tell someone's telling the truth is when they say something like that.
Yeah. No, I actually have your I listen to your podcast from time to time. Like, I'll download it.
I appreciate it. I see your Twitter. I know that
you download it and then you listen?
No, I just download it.
Okay.
We need the hits. I don't care.
Sure.
So you're moving. I didn't know that you moved out of L.A. I thought you were. Said you were moving back to L.A.
Yeah.
I didn't know you moved out at all. I thought you're on the road all the time anyway. I figured you were just on the road and you kept a P.O. box in L.A., but you're actually moving back to L.A. now.
I'm really moving to L.A.
You had never actually moved there officially then?
Well, I was there for 3 months.
Okay.
I was doing something, and then I went to New York for 7 months, and I went back to Cleveland.
You crashed with Florentine in New York, right?
Yeah, it's nice. Jim Florentine. Why is he on the schedule? What's going on, Kylie?
He'll be back.
I'll get Jim. I love Jim.
Yeah, we do too.
She's
so
you
sick. Actually did you couch surf in New York? Did you move there?
Well, I took a sublet for 7 months.
Got it.
Yeah, so I've been very nomadic.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to plant my flag. I've been on the road. I've been all over the place for the past 4 years.
Are we all?
I see it, man.
So I got to plant our flag.
I see it. How is that, man? You're a single guy.
Have you done much flag planting lately?
What was that?
Have you done much flag planting lately?
Not really. You know, I kind of let myself go a little bit. I quit drinking, so I'm getting my life back together.
Okay.
I'm trying to focus, and you know, maybe that little.
Did you have a problem with alcohol? You thought?
I think it was becoming a problem.
Colleen, yeah. Shame, yes.
I think it was becoming a problem.
Okay.
And I was using it because I was depressed. And I think I was putting depression on top of depression.
And that doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah. So I was
one night it does, but not a bunch of nights, right?
Yeah, and it gets away from you. So I was like, I got to probably focus on.
Well, considering one of the reasons you lost your radio gig is you were drunk, right?
Years ago. There was more to it. There was a lot, you know, in radio, there's a lot of politics.
Yeah, a lot of crap, I get it.
A lot of red tape.
How long you been sober?
3 days?
No. It was from.
2 days.
It was my birthday.
Well, what day is that?
December 27th.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you got less than a month.
Yeah.
For you.
Yeah. And I'm not like, I preach it.
No.
But I just like, I'm getting older and it's time to like grow up a little bit.
Are you going to just quit drinking completely?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, you are. Okay.
It's just,
you had a problem, didn't you?
Well, because I quit before for a year and a half.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just quit and then I started casually doing it and it wasn't, then it just creeps up on you.
Creeps
next
up.
Thing you know,
got it.
You're every night you're at a comedy club and it just becomes a thing.
I don't understand you. That's what I always thought. I mean, with my hours and a little bit more self-control than I probably did when I was younger, I could not drink.
Yeah.
Because I have to get up and do this. But if I was a comedian, no matter what age, sleeping in the morning, except for radio.
And
but even
access
then,
to free alcohol.
Not even just free, just in a bar.
Yeah.
I understand how. I don't know why every comedian is not a complete alcoholic.
Yeah,
and a lot of them are, right, Carl?
Yes, they are.
and
because
you're
there. You're there.
You got fans buying you drinks.
And by the way,
sure.
And it's also in the really big cities like L.A. and New York. It's Monday, Tuesday. I mean, every night's a comedy night, right? In those nights.
Yeah,
right? Yeah.
And that's where it got out. When I was in New York, that's where it got away from me.
Yeah,
I was just like every night we're hanging. I'd run into a guy I knew, like, hey, let's go get a drink. I'm like, I'm in, and I'm talking like Mark Norman. Hey. So I just said, I got to get a.
You're never drunk on stage, were you? Has it affected your comedy, or you got your comedy better, obviously?
My comedy's better.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Way better.
You're sharper.
Yeah, I'm sharper. Mm-hmm. But I never, I would always take a drink with me on stage, but I was never, like...
I never saw you hanging on stage.
Yeah, like, if it was, like, an open mic, that... Yeah, yeah, that's... But if it's,
are
like...
Are the guys that think they're actually funnier when they're drunk?
Well, like, guys in bands think they sound better when they're drunk, and they don't?
No, they think they perform better when they're drunk.
Carl, do you know anybody that way? Or in the past?
Oh, I'm sure
I'm sure they've thought that.
You mean completely drunk or just buzzed?
It's completely...
A lot of comedians are still a little buzzed.
Untrue. Nobody's better when they're all hammered, but I'm sure some guys think they are.
They cross the line, and then they don't know.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Well, that's also an age thing,
too. They get a little confidence in them. They think they're doing a good job. And
taglines.
Yes.
Congratulations on your sobriety for 20 days.
Yeah.
But you've done a year and a half before.
Yeah, yeah. It's just,
are you a meeting kind of guy? Or
No. I've done that. Yeah. I've tried that, and it's just not my thing. Yeah. And I know it works for a lot of people.
Right.
Mine's just, if I can get through 10 days, I'm good.
That's it?
I'm a creature of habit.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
You do other substances and not abuse them?
I never did any other substances.
Yeah, he's not
I'm not an other substance guy. I never have.
I was always trying to talk guys into smoking weed, man.
Yeah.
He's a pusher, man. He's
a pusher. I thought just some coke.
Yeah.
Do a little coke from time to time, and if you're not addicted.
Well, I still do meth. That's always been my thing.
If you can do that and stay under control.
That's always been my thing.
Yeah. Perfect.
I won't do meth on stage.
No, I don't. No.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
But don't you think guys can have a problem with the alcohol and smoke a little weed once in a while? I realize that.
Well, we talked to guys like that. Who was the dude from Billions?
Oh, Dan right. Soder.
Soder.
Yeah.
Soder was in the studio, and he doesn't drink anymore because his family had a problem, and so did he, but he gets high all the time.
But there's also people with really addictive personalities that if they smoke weed, well, then it's going to lead to something else. I also see that point of view.
Yeah.
But I think there are those guys who are just, it's
everything.
Booze.
Right.
Booze is the bad
booze
thing.
Booze is the bad thing.
They don't have that addictive streak where it's anything they start.
No, but there's guys who will try anything that will alter their conscience, and then they will accept anything that will alter their conscience.
Sure. Yeah.
I used to be that way. Field was wide open.
Still is, two ways. You're still in a two-way street.
Oh,
weed and alcohol.
Yeah, yeah, but nothing else.
No, but you control yourself.
Yeah.
But meth's not your thing anymore. Good thing is Chad's packing right now.
And the light bulb bill was getting too high.
All right, Craig joined the program.
If I must.
We had Carol Channing died, and over 400 people had her on the Deadpool list.
Almost 400 players.
Almost,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she was Carol Channing.
She was a defensive pick.
Yeah. Some of the Deadpool players that had Carol Channing include, but are not limited to, Dutch Oven Surprise, Eat a Band-Aid and Die gets a hit, as does, I don't know what that is. I can't say that one. Evil One gets a hit, as does Excessive Moderation.
Speaking of drug and alcohol abuse, Excessive Moderation.
Oh, man, this is really hard to say.
I think that term was coined on the show.
Yeah, it was.
Excessive Moderation.
I think it was Aggressive.
Aggressive.
Oh, that was
Aggressive
Petey Mack.
Moderation. Petey
Mack. Yeah. Aggressive Moderation.
That's right. That makes more sense.
Why can't you say it? Is it dirty?
No, it's just letters that are put with the wrong word.
So you're afraid to say it?
I'm going to say it.
Give it the Zumach. He'll say it.
No.
No.
We're in delay.
Let Craig take his time.
Give it to a pro.
Fact-jucking Reds tar.
Oh, my God.
Gets a hit.
What they want you to say?
I don't know.
Write that down.
All right. Farrah Fawcett's Panty Tea gets a hit, as does Fat Flip Lives, Fifi Portland.
My porn name.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Finding Urectum gets a hit.
Urectum.
Fingering Craig's neck hole gets a hit.
Craig had cancer a couple years ago. You remember that, Chad? He had a neck hole there for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we raised money.
Yeah.
Really?
You get the finger his neck hole.
People finger his neck hole for like $10.
That was only if you wanted the MRSA, though.
Yeah. That's right. He had MRSA, too.
I got you.
Yeah.
Fletching the Tranny gets a hit.
Oh, God.
As does floating... Oh, man. Oh, that's horrible. Not, no.
People are rude, aren't they? I think people put their list names down thinking that since they hear a lot of horrible things in the show, they can just say stuff, right? And rightly so.
Well, that one's horrible.
Okay, got it.
Well, I think some of them just like to test Craig, too. Right,
Fritz gets a hit. Frosted Wang gets a hit. And Frosty's porn something. Whatever.
Okay. I've got, well, when you get 410,
I think I've gone down the neck hole here or something.
380-some hits, you're going to get some horrible names.
I don't like that one. I don't like that one. I don't like that one.
I got to read some of these.
How many are totally on the Deadpool?
We don't know.
You don't know. No. Oh, got it. It just rolls
well,
up.
Well, we think
they,
we do know, but it's upwards of 1,000 people play this thing.
Yeah.
At least, yeah.
You know, I didn't. Of course, I didn't get that email from Len the other day.
You did. You just don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it.
And people don't have the option in mid-game to change their name, do they?
No.
To change their name, you can appeal to the commissioner and the and Len. You can appeal to us, and we will look into it depending on, it all depends on whether or not Len feels like it and if he's busy.
Right, right.
Yeah. Because
I've got no real issue with.
I get that email from time to time.
People want to hear Craig say their name.
Yeah, that's why they want to change their name.
So when they write something horrible down, they didn't
realize how horrible their name was when they originally wrote it down. They thought it was clever. They thought it was
funny. And Craig's sensitive when he reads these. You don't hurt his feelings.
Sensitive.
And then Craig won't read it, so they want to hear their name, so they'd like to change it. Okay. And I thought once you locked it in on December 31st, you were just locked in. Everything was locked in. Name it all.
I forward those emails off to Len Dog. It's completely at his whim whether he actually does it.
How many beers is in him at the time, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
How many whims are in him?
Our web guy drinks.
He's had about six whims.
He may be less likely to get on it.
Right, he's six or seven whims into the evening. Right. He ain't going to pay attention to you.
I actually don't know which way it goes.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know whether it is more beers,
or
less,
or is he more kind,
less
he's not
Deadpool,
drunk.
Or fewer beers, more Deadpool. I just don't know.
Yeah, I'm uncertain, too. I would guess more beers, less Deadpool.
I'm thinking that, too.
Well, part of that is taking the time to actually drink. He's actually out doing other things and therefore not necessarily available for the Deadpool.
They have a job where there's booze at their office.
Well, if they don't drink it, you can have it. You know, it's one of those things. If we drank every flipping day and got hammered, we wouldn't be able to have any. But since we don't, we can.
There may be a situation
where we can. We just do.
He's working the Deadpool stuff, and then he's served a few drinks, and he keeps going. And then there's lots of drinks and lots of Deadpool.
Move on. Yeah. Give us something to talk about.
Apparently there's now a bar without bartenders.
Well, we are. We're talking about Len Dog's drinking habits.
Yeah, we could go all day on that.
Without him here.
This is a heavy drinking segment.
Yeah, sorry. It is. We're starting,
this is called
Chad.
The test, Chad.
We're just trying to test your ass this weekend. Chad Zumach, sober since December 27th.
If you ever listen to the podcast that you download, you'd find there's a lot of heavy drinking segments.
So this new brew co-op or coop, I'm not sure, in San Francisco has no cashiers and no bartenders. You pour your own.
It's a trust
kind of like an Amazon Go thing. You pay at the entrance for a drink card that interfaces with the radio frequency reader on the tap. It keeps track of how much you pour and kind of cuts you off after two or three beers. The staff may let you put more on your card, but that's what they're doing.
Okay,
now.
There used to be a place here. I'm not going to mention any names.
Yes.
And it was the wine was a ripoff for that reason.
Oh.
You put your card in the wine machine, and it gave you that typical wine snob.
Right, a restaurant glass of wine.
And it was like $8-9 a glass, and Colleen knows what I'm talking about. Yep. That one's closed. I'm not sure if the other one's still open. I liked it. I liked the place, don't get me wrong. But I thought it was a ripoff because you put your card in, and this isn't dealing with a human being who's actually nice to you, pours you a little. Sorry, Chad, we're talking about alcohol.
No, but, I don't care.
I know, I'm joking. But a normal human being gives you a decent pour of wine. You know, not that. And this thing, the machine would only just give you that much. And I said, this is a ripoff. And that's why I stopped going there. Because I liked their wine, but it was, you remember to play, it was a ripoff.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that they felt this is how you could sample different flavors.
But at $10 a glass.
Absolutely.
I'm not sampling at $10 a glass.
Yeah.
I'm drinking.
One of my favorite things about drinking is interacting with the bartender.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Like, you eliminate the bartender, I'm like, I'm just sitting there.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah. You're right. You're right. Just sitting there looking at
it. I would not be a good bartender.
What?
I would not be a good bartender.
No, you're right. You wouldn't be.
And I'm not.
Well, that's the reason I didn't like that place, too, was just interaction. That whole you're doing all the work stuff. I'm tired of it.
I used to sit at the bar at that place because I liked the bartender. I still know the guy. He works at another place now. And I used to sit at the bar because I wanted to talk to the guy, yeah, giving me the wine, you know, not walk over to the machine and get my ass ripped off.
I'm tired of the self-service economy. People need to serve me.
I'm with, yeah. If everything's going to be cheaper, fine, but it's not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's
we're
not
doing all the work.
You're right.
Self-checkout.
Yeah, the last time I went to...
Self-checkout is easy, but it's a pain in the ass.
Last time I went to Fly, I had to roll up to the little kiosk and punch in all the information. I had to put the little sticker on my luggage. All the people who were working, quote-unquote working...
Stand there.
Yeah, just had to, thank you for the bag. Yeah. And turn around and put it on a conveyor belt.
And by the way, your plane tickets aren't going down anytime soon.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, I think they looked at my ID, too.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But otherwise, I'm tired of doing all the work.
You know what I'm going to do?
People seem to accept it.
I know.
This Friday through Sunday at the Omaha Funny Bone, I'm just going to play a recording of my stand-up for 25 minutes. You know, I don't have to work.
Yeah. Colleen's not going to pay you then, by the way.
We'll just put a cardboard cutout up
hologram
there on stage.
Hologram.
Nice.
The hologram tour. Now, we did hear of a self-serve thing that I kind of like. You mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And if I'm in college or young or now, I'm digging this machine. Because this is on demand, and this is something you usually have to worry about, making a call, going online, going out of the house. But this
Not this. This is at Ohio State.
It'll be in every college campus soon.
They're calling this a pizza ATM.
Ugh. Yeah.
This machine.
Please. Yes, please.
Yeah, this machine cooks a pre-prepared pizza in about 3 minutes using an automated ordering system, refrigerator, and oven, then dispenses it through a slot in the front like an ATM dispenses cash.
You put your card in there and the pizza comes, 4 minutes later?
3.
Man.
Here is Abby Hertzfeld with Ohio State describing the process.
So this is our pizza ATM. This is our newest, most innovative way to provide additional food services for our students. How it works is a student comes in, they select their pizza option, and there's a robotic arm that will select the right pizza box flavor. Then the pizza comes to the oven, and the oven will bake the pizza right here in this machine. It's about a 3-minute bake time. After that 3 minutes, it will come right out of this slot right here. So instead of money in an ATM.
Now, Craig mentioned, too, he's rightly so about this. If this is in a dorm in a college, they'll have to stock this every 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're high all the time.
And
you're
late
hungry
at night.
All the time. By the way, her voice, is she a college girl? Let's say she is.
Probably.
I doubt it.
Play a little bit of her voice again. Doesn't she sound like, if she would get drunk, she'd sound like this? Keep playing the voice. Play the clip again.
ATM, this is our newest, most innovative way to provide additional food services.
Super Bowl. I didn't because you told me to put the sparkles on my nails.
Yeah, it sounds like her.
A robotic arm that will select the right.
I don't know.
Yeah, she's capable.
Oh, yeah. Here's the catch.
What?
This thing only works from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Well, that's stupid.
Well, that's not when you need it.
No.
Yeah, it should work from 8 p.m. to 11 a.m.
Yeah, that's more like it.
There's another commercial that's driving me crazy. We weren't talking commercials there, but it's about people coming home. And it shows this couple walking into their house, and it's night.
I said I wanted pizza after 9 o'clock. Right. She said, no.
That is stupid.
That is.
That is stupid.
Ridiculous.
It's somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about.
And it only holds 70 pizzas at a time.
Yeah, well, that's a lot, though. This couple walks in from their house. You've probably seen the commercial. And they run to the kitchen because it's night, and they're just wolfing food down.
Oh, yeah. They make you think like they're going to go knock it out in the kitchen.
Well, yeah. They run in, they're hungry. They get the munchies. They come home. I mean, any grown person that's been on a date with their wife or their girlfriend, they live in the same place, you get home late at night, you do raid the kitchen because you ate earlier, you're out drinking, you're hungry again. But the advertisement is for Alka-Seltzer pills with melatonin to help you fall asleep. And I'm watching it last night. I said, Nobody needs help falling asleep coming home at midnight raiding the fridge. Everybody, at least one of the couple was hammered. The other one's probably slightly buzzed. They're going to eat whatever's left in the fridge, whatever's left over at the house, and they're going to pass out. Who needs melatonin on top of that? You'd sleep for 5 days.
It depends on the dosage, how much melatonin.
Well, you take it once in a while. It burns you out, doesn't it? I've done it before.
Yeah.
When I'm sober.
But usually when I take it, I take the 3 milligram stuff. And it doesn't really seem to hammer you that badly.
Because of everything else in your system, Todd?
No, this is like when I will go home at noon.
Oh, you can melt it in the middle of the day.
There's absolutely nothing in my system.
Yeah, he's just washing it down with vodka.
Sure.
There's not vodka already there.
But you're right. Wait on us. They wait on you at the Funny Bone. Yeah. There's an actual human being that comes to your table at the Funny Bone and gives you drinks and food.
And I have fun bartenders that will chat.
Right. Yep.
They're awesome.
You're right, Todd. They're Tums gummies, 3 milligrams of melatonin.
Yeah, that shouldn't build up a little tolerance.
It's just a weird pill, though.
Just give you a nice little nap.
I'm like, I raid the fridge. But like, my wife drops. We come home and there's usually leftover pizza from the kids from earlier in the night, and I'm wasted. I don't need melatonin.
It tastes good.
Tastes great. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you want to get a little sleep with your heartburn.
Chad Zumach with us. FunnyBoneOmaha.com. Your headliner is Ivan Decker.
We'll meet him tomorrow.
All right.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.